Hey, welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Kushal Shah. Welcome, Kushal.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, so what's your job here at Microsoft?
I'm a program manager in the workflow tools team, specifically working on the workflow designer infrastructure.
Yeah.
That ship as part of .NET Framework 4.
Okay.
And Visual Studio 2010.
Great, great. Now, a lot of people, you know, may never do this, but you guys worked pretty hard to make it possible to take that designer out of Visual Studio and put it into whatever your own app that you want to create.
Right.
And you kind of create this whole programming model to work with it. So, you know, it's funny because I remember, you know, way back when I first started looking at workflow, I thought, people would say, wow, wouldn't it be great if non-programmers could kind of either create their own thing or maybe just modify something that a programmer created. Do you think, are customers really getting that to work?
Absolutely. Yeah. So one of our biggest customers, for example, is SharePoint.
Yeah.
Right? Information workers.
Yeah.
And you will always, and in terms of adoption, then SharePoint is our biggest customer and is giving us the most biggest customer base out there.
Yeah.
What we are also seeing is that we have provided this platform for writing workflow designer and providing extensibility of on top of it. So a lot of vertical segments and ISVs are taking this platform, using the extensibility infrastructure, and giving domain-specific designers that solve their problems in their space. So we are seeing an amazing amount of people or feedback as well that when people get into the workflow designer space. And the best part from workflow 3 timeframe to workflow 4 is rehosting now has been made extremely simple.
Yeah, yeah.
Initially, it was like 18 page of an MSDN article. And now we have 3 lines or 4 lines of code to do a simple rehosted workflow designer.
It's pretty amazing. In fact, we put this into the introduction to workflow lab. It's that easy.
Oh, okay,
right?
Nice.
So
nice.
I think it's like exercise 10, the last exercise, you know, you actually rehost the designer. And yeah, it's pretty cool. And you know, so you're right. There's a lot of our ISVs. In fact, we had some of the other Microsoft teams. We had Dynamics AX and Microsoft CRM here on Endpoint TV, and we talked about how they did it.
I see.
And the Dynamics AX guys did a fantastic job. Yeah, their flowchart looking thing. It looks really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, but, you know, it's not just kind of ISVs, though, I wonder about. I'm thinking, like, you know, a large organization, maybe, or maybe even not so large. You know what I hear a lot from them? I hear the business people are kind of frustrated with the IT organization. They say things like, you know, all I wanted is a simple change to this thing, and they tell me it's going to take 6 months, 9 months, you know, $500,000 or whatever just to make a simple change. And so, you know, I wondered if they built their app using this kind of, with a workflow up front, and they gave the business community the ability to either kind of modify something the programmer built or maybe you know, kind of a little, here, you do this little part here, that maybe they could get
more,
you know,
power.
More control.
More control. Yeah, absolutely. And this is exactly what I wanted to touch upon today, where what we are seeing is that there is a BA or IT world, and then there is a whole developer world.
Yeah.
Now, people are creating this workflow applications, rehosted, and providing it to the IT organizations or the BA organizations to write their processes or modify the existing ones. But what happens a lot of times is, as you say, a small change is needed. Now, for that small change, what happens is the BA guy goes and talks to IT or the dev offline and says, oh, these are the changes that I want. Can you make them? So at this point, even if he wants to continue with the workflow authoring or editing, he cannot. Dev goes in, understands those changes, it flows through the whole hierarchy, and then the changes are made. The new workflow process is deployed into the BA field, and that's when the BA again starts working on it.
Yeah.
But you can imagine very well that 5 steps down the lane,
I'm
stuck. So that's where the dev BA collaboration, we think there is a lot of value mm-hmm. in making that simpler.
Right.
And that's where some of our focus would be today, where we will try to see what are the simple things that we are doing in making the lives of the BA guys or IT pro guys a lot more simpler,
mm-hmm.
and they can work in a more smoother fashion
yeah.
with the devs.
Okay, so you've got a little scenario we're going to talk about.
And yes.
So what's the scenario?
Well, the scenario is pretty simple. What I've done is just imagine that you want to process inventory job.
Uh-huh.
And so here the BA guy or whoever processes the inventory.
And so we should say BA is a business analyst.
Business
right?
analyst. Okay. So he comes in and says that, I'm ready to process this order mm-hmm. that I want to build. And he has this beautiful rehosted rehosted workflow embedded in their vertical application.
Okay.
He starts doing things and then realizes, it seems I want this. It's not there.
Okay.
What do I do now? Then, for example, what we have tried to touch upon is how can we make sure that the BA guy, business analyst guy,
yeah.
can only focus on a specific activity on the things that are relevant to him.
Okay,
example.
Because we don't want to ask the BA to become a programmer
exactly.
and understand everything,
exactly.
right? Yeah.
Simple example, right? Send mail activity.
Mm-hmm.
Business analyst in no way will be able to tell what the SMTP server is on which the message has to pass, right? It's a simple example.
Sure.
But again, so how do we make sure that the BA world and the developer world,
mm-hmm.
they are separate, but at the same time, we provide a beautiful collaboration mechanism for the two.
Okay.
And we will also see, for example, one of the things I wanted to show is that once the application has been built,
mm-hmm.
The business analysts, and this is where the business need comes in, I want to provide different kinds of inputs and see how the workflow is going to run.
Okay.
Kind of simulation, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. So I want to see that if I pass in this input, my workflow will be authored in the then through the then branch of the if-then-else.
Right, right.
If I pass in huge amounts of inputs, get me the traffic analysis.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So, of course, we are not going to do a traffic analysis.
Yeah.
But what we are going to do is provide a way in which, again, ISVs and customers can go in and write those vertical applications with all these additional capabilities.
Cool. All right, okay. So you've got some code you're going to show us?
Absolutely.
All right, so let's do that. All right, so Kushal, what do you got here?
Okay, so this is our rehosted workflow application.
Uh-huh.
And what we are going to do here is think about it as a process inventory job
okay.
that the business analyst is going to write.
Oh, okay.
Or author right. here.
Yeah.
So
now, at first I thought that's Visual Studio because it looks a lot like Visual Studio, but I see it just says main window at the top. So yeah.
Okay, yes, it is.
It's just a WPF application.
It is a WPF application, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
At the center, we have rehosted, in the grid, we have our workflow designer rehosted.
Yeah.
The left is the toolbox, and to the right we have the property grid.
Now, and of course we should point out that you have complete control over the toolbox. Like in this case, you're showing all kinds of things that, you know, maybe you might not want a BA to see, like, I don't know, try catch might be confusing for a BA.
Absolutely.
You know,
yes.
but you can control what they see, and even the name that's used there.
Even the name that is used there, the icons that are used there, the hovering over tooltip that is used there.
Okay.
Everything you can control.
So you have complete control.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And even like for this simple toolbar that you see at the bottom, we call mm-hmm. it toolbar with the variables, imports.
Right.
A BA might not be interested in the imports at all. Right?
Yeah, they might not know what an import is.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
So again,
okay.
you have control over making sure that imports doesn't show up.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Good.
So with this, let's try to author a simple
sure.
workflow.
All right.
And we are a BA. Business okay. analyst guy who is going to process the order that is coming in.
All right.
So first we will start with the simple things. Is write line. Let's see, order process started.
And so a BA like this is probably a guy who might be maybe good with Excel,
mm-hmm.
you know, and a lot of them are.
Uh-huh.
And so these expressions that we're writing actually are little VB expressions, which they might find similar
yes.
to things they've done in VBA.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the first decision point that comes in, and so we will do the true and false sides of this decision.
Okay.
And quickly do the connection pieces. This is what This is always interesting, to align them to look good.
Yeah.
To look.
I've always wanted an auto align. I guess you guys didn't get to that this time.
Yeah,
but.
Not this time, but absolutely. This is one of the. We have got this asks a lot of times from customers.
Yeah.
So something we are certainly taking a look at.
But you did get where you can select a shape and use the arrow keys to move it around, which is a good way to.
Oh,
align
things. Yeah. Like, for example, moving. I was using my right arrow right now.
Yeah. So, Kushal, there was this kind of feedback on the Workflow 3.5 designer, which was like, if your workflow gets really large, the designer got slow, got kind of painfully slow.
Right.
But you guys did something interesting to solve that, didn't you?
And that is what I'll show here. So you have the sequence.
Yeah.
And we are not going to add activities into the sequence in place here.
Right.
Because the flowchart will become weird shape, like large.
Yeah.
And especially the links that we have taken so much trouble to look beautiful will start looking weird now.
Yeah, right.
Right. So what we can do is on sequence, double click on it.
Okay, and you breadcrumb into it.
Yeah. You breadcrumb into it. So you can go back, double click again, and you can come back in.
Okay, great.
Okay? So moving forward, again, we'll start with the process inventory. And in this case, I'm going to drop a start process.
Okay.
And do a simple if then else. The if then else is going to say that, hey, if my parts. If I can type properly, if parts required is less than parts available for the user here or for the BA guy, already we have defined how many parts are available.
Okay.
And the order type, we'll look at the order type in a moment, but parts available has been defined. There are 100 parts available.
Right.
And the parts required, for example, here is going to be defined by the start process, who is going to say, I will analyze the number of parts that are going to be required in this order. Again, pretty straightforward stuff. So whatever output that comes from the start process is going to say how many parts are required.
Okay.
And I put that value or put that data
into
the parts required variable.
So this start process is probably something that a dev wrote.
Absolutely.
Right.
This is a custom activity. So this inventory processing activities that you see here at the bottom left corner, all of them are custom activities.
So the important point is that the business analyst is not doing everything. They're taking components that the developer wrote and they kind of link them together in the way they want.
Exactly. That is the key, that he's not worrying a lot about custom activities and stuff like that.
Right, right.
But now, what is going to happen in a moment is, say for example here, he says that let's process the inventory, and if the parts required are more, he has to notify the processing department saying that parts not available. Simple message that we can pass in.
Right. Okay.
Now, one important piece is that at this point, say, build order is done. Right.
Okay.
By the business analyst guy.
Yeah.
He says, man, I want to inform my manager
that
I have done this task. Right?
Okay.
The notify order processing is going to some other weird department.
Yeah.
Which has to know it. But let my manager also know, right, that I have done some work.
Yeah, yeah. That's always good.
Yeah, that's always good. But he goes to the bottom left corner or through the whole toolbox and says that, man, there is no activity called Notify Manager.
Okay.
What do I do?
Yeah.
So he says, the dev has already told him. If you at any point of time face such a problem, just add a to-do activity.
Oh, okay.
To-do activity. And just tell me what the activity should do. So in this case, we are going to say, notify my manager activity.
That's a great idea.
Right?
Yeah, because now you can see exactly where he wants it.
Exactly.
And okay.
And just thinking about what we just discussed a few minutes ago, if this activity was not there, we would have just paused on the whole workflow authoring process.
Right? Yeah, and we'd have to have a big meeting where you explain what you want and everything. Okay.
Exactly, right? Now, not needed.
Okay.
Thanks, the developer will be notified about it.
Oh, great.
Pretty much, you also see that there doesn't seem to be any validation error here.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Agreed. Come back to flowchart. There will be one validation error because we haven't defined the decision.
Right, okay.
So, again, it's a quick, simple decision. I'm going to say if the order type is type A. This is, again, something specific to that organization.
Right.
Or order type equals to type B. Again, I'm trying to keep it pretty straight and simple here.
Right. And you can click the button with the ellipses.
Oh, yeah.
Click that so that,
You can write it.
you can see the whole thing in a absolutely. Bigger editor. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Really cool.
Absolutely. So at this point, we are going to say that the business analyst guy has finished authoring his workflow.
Right.
Great. We will save this workflow, and the offline communication happens to the dev.
Okay.
And, hey, dev, there are some problems. You need to finish up some activities, finish up the configuration of some activities. So can you take it over from here? So we are going to exit here.
Okay.
And come the Visual Studio world.
Okay.
In the Visual Studio world, the developer goes back and opens that inventory processing.xaml.
Yeah.
And in Visual Studio, now you will see that the process is exactly where the BA guy had left off.
Now, it's important. It's the same file.
Same file.
Yeah.
Same file, which has been shared across or through
it could
some
be from source control or whatever.
Exactly.
Right?
And at this point, the BA guy comes in, the dev guy comes in, sorry, and says, okay, now let's see what are the things needed. He immediately goes into sequence. And do you notice something? Validation error. I told you, right? There was no validation error in the rehosted case. Now there is a validation error.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Again, the concept that what we are trying to put across is for BA guy and dev guy, worlds can be completely separate. We are still with the same process.
Yeah.
But still, a collaboration can happen in a mutual fashion in a very smooth way.
Okay.
Okay? So in this case, the validation error is pretty, it's just saying that, so the process inventory is a kind of, is an activity action activity.
Okay.
So you want to specify your final activity action, saying that once the build order has completed, what do you want to do? As simple as that. That's my validation in this case.
Yeah.
Of course, anybody can write the validations in Workflow 4.
Yeah.
As we have already talked about before
in
some other talks. In this case, I'm just going to say again, let me just notify the order processing department that order is built. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, an activity action is a concept that some people might not be familiar with.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, with Link, you had a lot of things where you did like an action of T on something. You could have a for each that takes an action of T, and then you provide some, it's like a little function that says, you know, for everything in the collection, we're going to do this.
Exactly.
And so an activity action is just the same thing only as an activity, right?
Exactly. And in this case, what I've said, this activity action is going to execute after it has finished executing every other activity within that parent.
Okay.
So every other activity within that process inventory, finish everything, and then execute me.
Okay.
As a cleanup task or as additional notifications, whatever the case might be.
Right.
Okay. So we have the order processing. And now the last piece that comes in is, hey, I'm seeing something called placeholder activity.
Yeah.
Right? We have to fix that. Keep an eye on the right-hand side corner of the Solution Explorer here.
Okay.
As soon as I'm going to double click, what happened?
Whoa. You added something.
Yeah. We have the notify manager activity ready for him. We understood from him what kind of activity he wants. And the item template, essentially this is a simple template.
Yes,
of
just
a code
the code
activity.
Template.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now he can write the logic for how to notify my manager.
Right.
Here.
Right.
The dev can write it pretty straightforward for him.
Yeah.
Nothing new for him as well.
Okay.
Right? So I'm not going to spend time on that right now.
Right.
But coming back. So now let's come back to flowchart. Now let's build the workflow, right? And this is another interesting piece that you will see that.
Yeah.
Let's finish the build. Rebuild all started. Rebuild all succeeded. The designer reloads on a successful build.
Yeah.
And now you should see the placeholder activity, right?
You would think.
But
oh, cool. You switched it up.
It has been replaced with the Notify Manager activity.
I had no idea you could do this stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
again,
cool.
Again, simple heuristics that we established so that it understood that what the description is and what activity is corresponding to this placeholder activity during implementation. So now you have implemented that activity. Let me replace it.
Okay.
Straightforward stuff.
Nice.
Now let's save this. Now at this point, done.
Okay.
The dev is saying, rock and roll.
Okay.
The business analyst can finish up his process
cool.
if he wants to and proceed with the next steps.
All right.
So we are again going to, let's close this quickly and go back. Now the business analyst guy comes in,
okay.
opens up this PA collaboration And he sees that sequence. He has a notify manager activity.
Great.
Again, he is not seeing that activity action.
Yeah.
If you look in here, right?
Okay.
Because there might be some details that business analysts need not know.
Exactly.
So what I have done is this designer for process inventory.
Yeah.
It understands if it's in Visual Studio world.
Yeah.
Then use a specific designer.
Okay.
If it is in rehosted world, then use a specific designer.
You know, this comes up a lot because I met with some people who were saying, yeah, we need to do this or that in our workflow, but we're worried that if we show all those details and the business analysts won't understand and they'll get confused, and we want them to see something that looks really simple.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And that is what we want to show up here.
Okay.
That how we are making the lives of BAs as simple as possible in terms of authoring the workflows using our platform and extensibility.
Okay.
One final piece I want to show, and that might be something that you will love.
Okay.
So at this point, the BA says that, great, my process inventory workflow is ready.
Mm-hmm.
I want to simulate it.
Okay. Cool. Let's see how that works.
Right. So let's save file and simulate run workflow. So how will the simulation happen?
Okay.
When my order type, for example, here was type A, and the parts available were 100.
Okay.
Right. And I had the parts required, I have kept it as 95 in the start process.
Okay.
Again, so minimizing it and saying file, simulate run workflow. What do you see? Debug kind of add-ons from Visual Studio?
Yeah, exactly.
But it is telling me which activity is executed.
Yeah.
And which branches I'm going through. Build order. And then it will say that, that notify order processing. And then coming forward, notify manager, blah, blah. It will continue forward. And then you come back to the flowchart. And one additional thing that you will see is, of course, we have the check marks, but it also tells at what time this activity executed.
Oh, that is cool. That is very cool.
Right?
Yeah, because they wanted, you know, what if they got the expression wrong, you know, in the decision or one of the other places? They want to test it out to see if it's going to work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was the point. That now just imagine, right? If, for example, this specific activity took a long time, right?
Yeah.
So somebody can come in and directly open this thing and say that, this activity executed at 11:56, 36 seconds. But this activity, for example, executed at 11:58, for example.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Something went wrong here.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, and then he can, for example, add all this information about which activity is executed and build overlays on this visual to say that if this activity has darker border or darker color.
Yeah, then it's got a problem.
Meaning, or it has a problem, or it executed 100 times when the simulation was run for 150 times. Like some
you
kind of
different
KPI indicators and stuff like that, right?
Very interesting.
So this is about, again, how the dev-BA collaboration will happen.
Yeah.
And how the the BA can go in and understand the simulations and continue authoring his workflow without a lot of hindrance.
Now, you know, I know a lot of developers are looking at this and they think, well, you know, maybe if there's some guys who are going to rehost workflows, but I'll probably never do that. But they might think differently after seeing this.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure a lot of people will say, I got to see how you did that. Is there some code they can get? How did they download that?
Absolutely. So the code, everything is available on my blog post, blogs.msdn.com/kushales. In this case, for example, that visual tracking service, right?
Yeah.
So I've talked about visual tracking service, try to explain how we achieve this using our infrastructure.
Okay.
Because, of course, you're going to go five more steps from what we saw in the demo.
Right.
So this goes through the architecture of how things were achieved, what APIs you used.
Yeah.
I was remembering KPIs, but APIs you were using.
Yeah.
And the source code is also absolutely available for this this stuff.
Awesome.
Okay. And the dev-BA collaboration related stuff, again, I have broken that down into multiple blog posts. You can find them. Again, everything has a source code available.
Yeah.
Collaboration 1, 2, 3. And this 1, 2, 3 is just about validations and designers between rehosted and Visual Studio.
Okay.
That is one blog post.
Okay.
Placeholder activity and its replacing is another blog post.
Right, right.
So that's how I've gone about differentiating between every one of the concepts.
That's absolutely fantastic, man.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Kushal, for being here today with us on Endpoint TV.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ron, for having me here.
Okay.